Welcome to GRE Snacks, snackable episodes about the GRE exam and graduate school admissions. I'm Tyler, the founder of Achievable, and we have an affordable GRE course that includes everything you need to ace your GRE exam. A full textbook, videos on key topics, tons of GRE questions backed by our memory-enhancing algorithm, a built-in study planner and essay grader, and full-length practice exams. You can try it out for free by going to achievable.me, and if you like it, use the code PODCAST to get 10% off at checkout. Now, let's get started. Today, we have Oren Margulis from Pine Tree and Palm Consulting back on the show. And Oren, we're really happy to have you back. I'd love if you could just give a quick intro for the people that haven't heard you before.
Totally. Thanks for having me. And I'll try to keep it quick and snappy. But again, Oren Margulis, and I am a solo practitioner, run a firm called Pine Tree and Palm Consulting, which focuses primarily on MBA admissions, also do a little bit of executive and career coaching as well. I worked at NYU Stern as an MBA admissions officer in a couple of different capacities for a number of years, and have worked with folks who are applying to MBA programs, all the top MBA programs, for a number of years now, with success across all of the top schools. I also have seen and worked in a number of different industries, including financial services, entertainment, tech, startups, you name it. So I like to bring a kind of career coaching and professional development lens to the MBA admissions process, as well as a kind of action-oriented approach as well.
Yeah, I love that. And so let's talk about, today we're kind of talking about imposter syndrome and how, you know, you basically can get into a top MBA program as a quote unquote normal person, right? And I mean, normal is kind of a funny word here, but it's the idea that I think a lot of people get really intimidated applying to Harvard, Stanford, GSB, et cetera, just by the fact that they think that everybody who gets admitted there, like, went straight from college to McKinsey, then went to Google, joined like their strategy team or something. And, you know, has this sort of the type of resume that is, one, like, pretty obviously and straightforwardly exceptional, but two, is sort of like almost like laser focused on getting into an MBA program. You don't have to do all that or have all that in order to actually get into these programs. And in fact, anyone can get into these programs, assuming obviously you have good academics and good test scores that are, you know, at least good enough to kind of get you in the door. If you tell a good story. So I'd love if you could kind of start, I guess, like, take it from the top.
Yeah. And I guess, I have a couple of messages that I'll share, and that I'd like people to walk away with from this conversation. I would reject the premise a bit that anyone can get into Harvard or Stanford. So it's maybe a bit of a twist on the premise of this conversation. But I think anyone with an exceptional level of insight, an exceptional career path, something exceptional to say, as long as you mentioned, you know, those underlying fundamentals are there. So, you know, to be exceptional, I think can look a lot of different ways aside from working at McKinsey, or I was in the Olympics, or, you know, I grew up, with a certain set of circumstances that I was born with. There are a lot of folks who are brilliant and talented, who have had quote unquote normal career paths, but who see themselves and see bigger things for the industry that they've worked in, or see themselves doing incredible things in a number of years, and are able to articulate that in an exceptional way. And those are folks that do make a compelling case for the tippy top schools. Now, I'll also say that, no one is entitled to get into Harvard or Stanford. These are like the top schools in the world. And so, you know, right. my premise number one is that, yeah, like, if you have something exceptional, say you can get into, you know, the top of the top schools. If you don't have something exceptional to say, or if you do have something exceptional to say, but maybe just don't get into Harvard or Stanford, I would say that the vast amount of applicants out there that are applying to the top 20 business schools are folks who have worked in like pretty typical careers. Maybe they touch business, maybe they don't, who have a really good idea of what they want to get out of business school, who have solid academics, and who have had a career path that you know, might look like the archetype of a a typical MBA student, but might look like someone who's pretty well-rounded, maybe with a couple of holes or gaps from the like standout MBA profile, but who knows why they're here. They know why they're applying. They have the underlying fundamentals and they're like ready to go. And those are folks that do really well in processes that are competitive, whether it's Harvard or Stanford, like maybe not, but are totally fair game to get into great schools.
Right. Well, and I think that's the first part of this is, you know, your execution matters, right? So you can out execute other people that are applying to these programs, you know, both with the test scores and with everything else.
Yeah, like execution matters, and it matters at some points more than others, and for some schools more than others, if I'm being completely honest, right? I mean, an exceptional test score might be really compelling to a school that's a little further down the list. An exceptional test score is not going to get you into Harvard. It's going to get you a look at a place like Harvard. So when thinking about calibrating to that bar, you know, the message is, how soft exceptional do I need to be to get into a school that's maybe like number 20? Well, if you got a 760, it's going to be a lot lighter of a lift. If you're coming in with a 760 and applying to Harvard, though, you still got a lot of work ahead of you. That does not entitle you to get a yes.
Right. So I'd love if you could maybe now, because you've had some people go to Harvard and other schools that are in that category. I'd love if you could just tell a couple of stories, maybe just from your experience and kind of like who these people were, like what they did, like why their application worked. I think that would be a great way to start. And then we can go into kind of how to do it for you, the listener.
Yeah, totally. I mean, first of all, I've seen folks from Google matriculate at Harvard, of course. Like we all know that story. That's not like a unique story. I've seen folks who have very unique life circumstances tell that story, tell that story in a way that's compelling. Proves that they learned something from those life experiences and go to Harvard or, you know, go to these top schools. I've also had folks, you know, I had a client who worked in the construction industry as an engineer, was really concerned that they were too like straight and narrow and both like not businessy enough and also not quote unquote non-traditional enough to kind of cut through the noise of the Harvard applicant pool, but was able to situate themselves and their experience in a way where they said, look, like I am a construction management engineer. Here's what I've learned about being in that field. Here is what I have to say about my experience there. I'm a woman in that field. This is what my experience is like. This is how I want to propel women in engineering in the future. And really say that in a way that felt authentic, like it spoke with a voice on a topic, and was able to really, you know, kind of speak to a level of leadership and perspective that would propel her forward in that field. The takeaway here is not that this is it's not an identity-based argument. This is the lesson I learned from my experience that otherwise seems normal, and ended up really resonating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so is there anything specific that you want to point out from those examples, maybe about like how they kind of sought an angle with what they had going on, right? Like you mentioned that the woman and the construction woman, right? Like she could talk about like one of her angles was like she was in a very, very male dominated industry and kind of overcoming that, right? So like things like that, I feel like are good things to maybe highlight.
Yeah, I'll bring up another example because I think it's even more relatable, let's say. I worked with a client who grew up in the Midwest and moved to a large city on the East Coast for college, okay? I would not consider that to be like this crazy thing that cut to, you know, that singles one out from the crowd. But that experience was really pivotal in that person's life. Okay. Like that person their world was blown. Their mind was blown. Their world was opened by that experience. And what they were able to do is pinpoint that moment as a turning point for developing an interest and passion in diversity, in thinking about and learning about it in a different way than they'd experienced it before, and infusing that into their career goals, which is to do something at the intersection of social justice, finance, and consulting. Like, these are not unusual or like exceptional career goals, and it's not an unusual or an exceptional story. But the level of insight that this person was able to draw from their own life and translate into what they care about and how that ties into their larger business school journey was a level of introspection that most business schools are not used to seeing. They were able to contextualize their own work experience in a way that went, that kind of put that work experience in conversation with their life experience and also their forward-looking goals. And those are the kinds of moments, you know, those are the kinds of moments when someone can read an essay, for example, and say, like, wow, this person has something to say. This person will have something to offer our student body. And this person is going to look at leadership in a really specific lens as they traverse throughout their career. And, you know, that person's at Sloan right now and got into a whole, you know, a whole bunch of other top schools. So is that a good example of does that really answer your question?
Yeah, I think it's a great example. Before we move on from the examples, are there any others you want to share, or we can get into kind of the how you do it yourself?
It's almost a trick question because everyone I've worked with can be an example. Like everyone is an example. Like I have a client who, you know, was in the nonprofit field and really involved in their church and gained some really interesting insights about, learned some really interesting lessons from that intersection that they wanted to bring to the public, to the private sector, and was able to tell that story in a compelling way. I have someone who by accident stumbled into a family real estate business, and found themselves working on some pretty major deals that they would have never otherwise had the opportunity to work on before. That's like an exceptional story. That can be an exceptional story if told the right way. And so these are not people who looked back on their lives and said, I hit the jackpot with my sob story, or I hit the jackpot because I'm super wealthy, or I hit the jackpot because, you know, one thing or another. This is someone that, these are people that looked at their actual lives and were able to distill meaning from either moments or the larger narrative of their life and get there and like tell that story in a way that is vulnerable and also meaningful.
Yeah. And so I think that is probably a nice segue into kind of the how do you do it yourself, right? Like I think that the key thing here when we were talking about this in the prep, right, is like your story is your story, aka like you can't make up something that you went to Mars or whatever it is. Like you have to actually work with what you've got, and unless you're thinking about your MBA application years ahead of time, you probably don't have a ton of chance to create new things to talk about or change course dramatically. So the big thing is, you know, finding the sort of, I call it angles, I don't know if that's what you'd call it, but like finding the angles that you can play up in what you've experienced.
Yeah, I'd frame it more as connecting the dots, right? So to sidetrack for a little bit, there's also always those people that say, hey, like, what can I do to make myself more competitive for business school? And I'm like, well, when are you applying? And they say, I'm applying next month. I'm like, dude, the ship has sailed. you know, so yeah. taking that approach, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't, like, that ends up looking weird. But what I encourage those folks to do is to play a bit of a game of like free association. So, you know, I sometimes encourage folks not to like over brainstorm, but it can be a really good idea to take inventory of what are like the things in your life that have happened. What are some of the main moments in your life? Maybe it can be going to college. Maybe it can be transitioning from one job to another. Maybe it can be, how did I choose my career path so far? How did I decide to go to business school? You know, what did high school look like for me? How did I grow up? What are some hobbies that I have? All of these different things, like throwing them down on a paper or talking them through with a third party, and then thinking, what are some of the common themes that are starting to come up? Like, I talk to people like that, and I'm like, you know, I'll be like, it sounds like you've taken a lot of risks in your life, huh? And they're like, yeah, right. I guess I have. Or it sounds like you were a pretty risk-averse person up until this moment. What happened? and there's usually a story that comes out of those moments. And what that usually does is it ends up speaking to a person's ethos, what they care about, how they approach the world. Usually when superimposed upon the business school story, there ends up being a larger narrative that spins out. I realize I'm talking right. kind of in generalities, but what I'm trying to say is this is not about the what happened. It's about the so what. It's about why do I care? It's not that you were an accountant and then you became were an accountant and then transitioned to media. It's like, okay, that's an interesting pivot. How does that speak to the way you view the world?
Mm-hmm. Right. One, and why you did what you did, right? And I think even without a crazy pivot, you can instead talk about like, well, why did I, you know, work at my first two jobs? Like, what was it that compelled me to go to them? Or maybe I learned that I didn't want to be in a certain field. That's part of the reason why I'm doing this, because I actually want to get into X instead, right?
Or like maybe if we're framing it through the lens of career experience, maybe I have worked in corporate finance for 5 years following business school and I want to pivot to investment banking. Fine, like pretty quote unquote normal story. But how have I gained expertise in the field of finance throughout my 5 years? What lens have I accumulated expertise in? And why am I positioned to be, you know, a strong leader in the world of finance moving forward? What point of view do I have to lend to the world of investment banking that would be attractive to investment banks and also make me a leader in that world after business school? There are so many different ways. I almost look at the word angle as kind of a dirty word because we're not playing a game here.
Wondering about that.
Yeah, like I spend so much time having, trying to push people to get out of the like, what game do I need to play to get into a certain school? Or what are they looking to hear? What are they trying to hear? And really instead pushing that to the side and finding the authenticity and vulnerability in their own story and own voice. And it sounds cheesy, it sounds trite, I know it does, but that type of introspection is the kind of thing that is just like so attractive to any school because it demonstrates a sense of self and an ability to be a vulnerable leader.
Yeah, interesting. So, I mean, I think that I kind of have two different directions to go here following that. The first direction I have to go is like, we'll just start with this one. So when you're trying to have like these brainstorming sessions, right? Like in a perfect world, they would have the ability to work with someone who's an expert in this, like you or other admissions consultants, but not everyone has that. Or maybe they want to do it on their own first before they even go to an admissions consultant. So they're kind of prepared, or at least, you know, they have a direction.
Yeah.
How do you recommend going about that? Like going about sort of the brainstorming process? Like it sounds like having at least one person as a sounding board is pretty helpful.
Yeah. Talk to your friends, talk to your family. I mean, the word I use over and over and over again in this process is like ethos. Oftentimes I use that in the sense of like, what is a school's ethos and how do you want to speak to that school's ethos when answering the question, why do you want to go to X school? But I'll use it in a different way for this conversation and think about what's your ethos? Like, Tyler, you're applying to 5 schools. Like, what are you all about? What do you have to say? And if you don't know the answer to that question, and a lot of people don't, it's like actually a really hard question to answer for a lot of people. So it shouldn't be a given. Ask people who know you really well. You might be surprised at what they say. If you ask some of your friends, if you had to think of a couple of qualities that really stick out about me, what would they be and why? you know, mm-hmm. thinking about talking to family who's maybe seen you evolve over a number of years. What are some of the common themes you've seen run through my life? Some of those questions that scratch just a little bit below the surface, but might not come up in everyday conversation. What are some things that you observe that I care about in kind of an outsized way? These are really good starting points for at least, you know, the essay writing process. Another way to approach this, which is a little bit counter to what we've been talking about so far, is I find a lot of people do spend a lot of time thinking about this process and not enough time just like kind of getting into it and writing. And so, especially with like the Harvard essay, for example, it's like a blank piece of paper. It's like, write whatever you want, ready, go. And I see a lot of people that spend just like hours and hours and hours brainstorming on paper, talking to people, whatever. And sometimes, honestly, just free writing can be a really, really good like stimulator for what's to come. Mm-hmm. And the juices can really start flowing. The best essays are the ones that take the least amount of time to write and feel the most organic to flow. And so sometimes just like doing the damn thing can be a really great place to start, counterintuitively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so let's talk about that a little bit. So with like free writing or brainstorming, right? Like, do you direct people at all? Like, I mean, I guess you shouldn't maybe write like your children's book idea, but maybe you should write about yourself and your admissions process. But do you have like any sort of suggestions for people? Like, do you sit with your resume in front of you? Do you have a direction? Like, today I'm going to write about my goals after my MBA, or like, what do you recommend?
It depends on the essay that you're writing. And so I guess, you know, I will break this discussion down into another branch and bring up the fact that like most essays that are asked are actually pretty straightforward. Like they don't require a level of like, oh my God, introspection. If you're being asked, what are your career goals, short term and long term? Like this is the pre-work that you need. You should really know the answer to that question before you get started with the admissions process, like at all. When you really know the answer to that question, answering it and writing it should be kind of a piece of cake. And I encourage folks
right.
to not like.
I mean, you could even argue that you shouldn't really be applying for an MBA without some purpose in mind, because it's 2 years and $200,000.
Totally, Tyler, like you'd be amazed by the amount of people who really, really struggle with articulating the why behind getting an MBA by the time it comes to writing an essay. You know, if you spend money working with an admissions consultant, especially, mm-hmm. I would say use that money to flesh out the why before getting started on essays or like the meat of the process, because once you know yourself really well, once you know the who am I and what do I want to do with this really expensive degree, everything's just going to flow so much faster. And I know we've veered off of the like, you know, normal person theme a little bit, but this is the work that as, you know, someone who might, you know, if you're someone who doesn't quote unquote feel exceptional, having the why you want to go to business school really fleshed out and in a way that you can rattle off your tongue can give you a really, really, really big boost of confidence. Really big. Because you're already ahead of the game once you get there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you got to do this work. You got to at least have an idea going in. You should refine it with your admissions counselor or friends, family.
And there's nothing more appealing to an admissions committee. And I'm not saying being extrovert and I'm not saying be ego driven, but having a sense of self is a remarkably important part of being compelling to especially the top schools, right? Like knowing who you are and what you're putting forward, whether that's your career as an Olympian or whether that's your mm-hmm. career in a family business as an accountant and how that fits into your larger narrative, like that's actually the secret sauce.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, I think that sort of the next place I want to go with this is kind of how do you, now that you've kind of got these ideas, basically it's time to build a story, right? And I think something that I've heard, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, it's just kind of a saying, but is that, you know, admissions officers don't admit like scores, they admit stories. Right. And I think that, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think that that is like at least a little bit true in the sense that like you are selling your story to them through your application.
It's a little bit true. I agree and disagree. To the extent that a story is a narrative that you make up for yourself, I reject the premise. Mm-hmm. To the extent that a story is a distillation of who you are, what you care about, what you've done, and where you're going, I believe it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I meant it, I think. Again, I'm not trying to like take such a cynical angle on this. your story should be authentic and genuine, right?
I think what I'm trying to get at is taking the pressure off a little bit, right? It's like your story, quote unquote, doesn't need to necessarily blow minds. When thinking about short-term and long-term goals, yeah, like an audacious goals or a really specific perspective on an industry or on goal, like that is a story in and of itself. Like that's what you're selling. You're not trying to make something magic out of something basic, right? Like there doesn't need to be these crazy smokes and mirrors to get there for the vast majority of people. Most people need to get out of their own way, not dress up themselves with all sorts of like flashy things that don't actually exist.
Right. Yeah. So then, I mean, let's talk about that, right? Like, it is hard to do because everybody's story is different. I know that we have touched on a lot of like generalities a little bit about like building your story, but is there any like sort of further advice that you'd give to people around kind of like how to put together like a narrative for yourself or how to kind of like, it's almost like sort of the core building blocks that are going to run through your whole application, kind of be the brand going into your application.
Yeah. I mean, the branding framing is something I also struggle with. I know it comes up a lot in the admissions conversation, but I really advise folks to think of themselves as a person instead of a brand. Some of that typical like brand yourself or, you know, come up with this like narrative. I actually throw out the word, I like to reject the word narrative a lot too. It's like, just tell your damn story, you know, tell me what you care about. Having a point of view on anything is a really good place to start. That can be a point of view on finance. It can be a point of view on diversity. It can be a point of view on the role of business in society. It can be a point of view on your own career trajectory. What do you care about and why is a good place to start. What do you care about? Why? How is business school going to tie into that story? Period. It's really actually not. It is hard. It is hard. I'm not going to say it's not hard, but it's not complicated. It doesn't need to be complicated.
Mm-hmm. So then, it doesn't need to be complicated.
I know we're on a podcast that's like dedicated to spending hours and hours and hours talking about it. So I get it. There's a lot of pressure and it's high stakes. It can feel high.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. Sorry. What I was going to lead into was to say, if it doesn't need to be complicated, how do you make it easy? How do you make it simple?
Yeah. That's a million-dollar question, right?
Right.
I actually think that the way to make it simple is to front load the work of really thinking through why you're doing this in the first place. Think about what you've learned throughout your career. Inventory it, having a good reason for going to business school, and then going from there.
Got it. So then let's, one thing I just wanted to circle back on real quick was, you mentioned that one thing that admissions committees love is when you kind of project like a sense of like self-knowing.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just curious, maybe like, other than obviously like knowing yourself, just like, what are some tips that you have for people to kind of get there?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's important for folks to inventory moments throughout, could be throughout their life, but also especially throughout their career that have really made an impact on you. And so, look, like I think to a client who did not get a promotion that they expected, mm-hmm. it's a pretty relatable experience. It's mm-hmm. an experience that doesn't sound like anything that special, but it's like a pivotal moment in that person's career that they were able to spin out into a moment of real vulnerability. It showed a moment of failure, showed a moment where they were not killing it in their career. And it, what they were able to do is take that moment and use it to think not just about how they turned their career around, but how they became an empathetic leader that motivated others who were struggling in their career as well. It's a moment of vulnerability. But it's, being able to put forward that vulnerability in a way that feels like personal and maybe even risky, because who wants to tell business school that you didn't get a promotion? You know, a lot of the conventional wisdom will say, no, you want to build up that you've been amazing in your career the whole time. But I would argue that putting forward like actual real failures is the way to answer that question. It's like when you're in a job interview and someone's like, what's your biggest weakness? And you answer, I just care too much. It's like, oh my gosh, give me a break. Answer that, you know, with a real actual moment where you struggled, shows A, that you are not afraid to go there, which, by the way, real good leaders are not afraid to go there. And that it has helped you develop a perspective as you have then subsequently excelled in your career and developed a philosophy around leadership and your own career trajectory. So really taking stock, not just of these like seminal big moments in your life and career, but also maybe some of the ones that feel smaller or less consequential, but that might've had like outsized impact to you as a person and feel kind of like formative or core.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. And I think in general, you know, at the very least, if you're being vulnerable with and sharing something that's not like a roaring success, you're standing out from the other people that are applying, right? All of whom are just putting that successful face forward and showing like some real sort of humanity there. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, people, I mean, like robots aren't interesting. Like robots aren't compelling. I'll say that like the person who works at McKinsey and doesn't have anything interesting to say about that experience, it's like, it's the what, but it's not the so what. You know, working at McKinsey can give you a really great leg up in developing a range of really cool, amazing, you know, really, really formative experiences. If you put those forward, then yeah, like you've got a leg up in the process. If you don't, then it's like, okay, this person works at McKinsey and expects to get in for having worked at McKinsey. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and lots of people who worked at McKinsey don't get in, right, for that very reason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's that sense of entitlement that can really be a downer. And look, like people that work at McKinsey, like they do have a leg up in the process, generally because they have like a cool range of experiences to show for it. But just by virtue of working somewhere or having a quote unquote hook does not get you there if you're not able to reflect on it and distill that into something meaningful.
Yeah. And so now I'd like to move on to kind of, you know, keeping with the theme here as a normal person with a, you know, you've done the things we've talked about so far on this call. You've done your soul searching. You've done your kind of prep work and homework. You know what you want to do after college. You know kind of what your unique perspective is on things. And Then you've got to, you know, put together the pieces. You've got to write your essay, your resume, letters of recommendation. Do you just have kind of advice for any of those areas specifically or in general?
Yeah, I mean, same general points, but from a letter of recommendation perspective, this is really the same thing, right? The advice that's been thrown out on this podcast quite a bit, and like all throughout, you know, anyone who's like learning about how to apply for MBA admissions, you'll be told it's not about like getting a recommendation from the CEO that you haven't worked with. It's about getting a recommendation from the person that knows you really well, even if they're a middle manager or, you know, someone who has a less impressive title. In that example, the recommendation that's going to pop is the humanizing insight, or the insight about about your potential to do great things, your potential for leadership. What that means is making sure that that person knows your story. They know why you're wanting to go to business school in the first place, not just what you've done with them in that narrow slice of life. Someone who can really speak to, who can elevate you from the accountant for a family business to a future leader in business, right? So again, like finding like diamonds in the rough or special moments in the mundanity of life, that's where I think it is. Like that's what you're really hunting for. That's really what you're hunting for. But, you know, people that know you well, are good places to start. When thinking about resumes, it's not the place to be humble. it's really not. It's a place to really put your best self forward, but also, you know, resumes are largely a recounting of like actually what you've done, but also why it's important. So, again, taking that frame of like, not just the what, but also the so what, like, why is this significant? Why is this important? What's the larger, like, cool that you had a project that was really successful, but what did that successful project inspire you to do? How did that project spur subsequent projects in your firm? What is the strategic and business outcome that might have spurred a passion in you, right? Like, lay breadcrumbs in something like your resume that you can use later in your essays and in your interviews.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's all really good advice. Is there anything else that you want to kind of, as we go towards closing this year, anything else that either we haven't covered that you want to make sure that we covered, or just any other kind of tips that you want to share?
The only thing I'll say is that I think, you know, the contradiction that I see, all the thing that's always so puzzling to me is folks, almost everyone that comes through my door is anxious in some way. And they're generally, if they are one of those people that does quote unquote look really exceptional on paper, they're concerned about being kind of like, sort of like not a non-traditional enough applicant, right? Like the investment banker who has 5 years of investment banking experience, looks like a shoo-in for business school, is worried that they're too straight and narrow and not interesting enough. And then the person who's like an artist and hasn't done anything related to business is worried that they are, you know, that they're too out there and too non-traditional to get into business school. And the real answer is that your life is your life. it just is. If you have a good reason for being in school, that is a reason that something that business school can actually help you get to, you know, from there, it's really just a matter of putting forward what you got and not overthinking it. That's generally how I approach this process. And I found that the people that are most successful are really the ones that have a sense of self-assuredness about why they are here, meaning in the application process, and can put that forward accordingly. So get out of your head. Do the soul searching necessary, and really just focus on telling your story and getting out of your own way. Don't think about the admissions committee, which is easier said than done.
Yeah, exactly. Great. I really like that as a way to wrap up. This has been GRE Snacks. hosted by Tyler from Achievable with Oren Margulis from Pine Tree and Palm Consulting. And Achievable has a great online GRE course you can try for free at achievable.me. Use the code podcast to get 10% off at checkout.